Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Alan, Kafam, and Hugh. On tonight's show, we are honoured to have a Chinese guest from mainland China. Bin comes from Shanghai and has an amazing story to tell about life in China and working in the medical profession there. Gives us an insight into the gay scene in China and how the Chinese government is handling the HIV situation in the country. Stay with us here on Joy 94.9 and Orange Ribbon for the next hour to hear Bin's story. Joy 94.9, this is Orange Ribbon with Alan, Kafam and Hugh. Welcome, guys. This is the first time for a long time the three of us have been in the studio together.
Yes, it is, actually.
Mm.
And also, while sitting listening to the song, that track we just listened to, Bin, our guest tonight, actually, Bin or Ben, I suppose.
Bin.
Yes, I've got the both names in front of me. Now, Bin has actually brought in the music, and I asked Bin where his music come from, his tracks come from, and he had an interesting answer to tell us. Could you share that with us again?
Okay. Hello, everyone. It's my pleasure to come here. as for the Kafam just raised the issue about the music, I have to say in the current Chinese society, the pop music from Hong Kong and Taiwan are more popular in mainland China. And now today I come here, I thought I should choose some from the mainland China, original from mainland China. It's sure, sure, some of the real thing happened in China, so
very
I choose.
So there's a bit of a national pride happening for you.
I think it is actually. Since I come here, I think the younger generation have a stronger national pride than before. So we like to listen some songs from the China and know something about the China.
Okay. Ben, tell us exactly where you come from in China.
I come from the Shanghai. I'm not sure, have you ever been there?
The Bund in Shanghai.
I personally have never been there.
I've never been to China. Bund, the along the harbour front there, is always famous worldwide, I think.
That is a national heritage.
Mm. You know, I've just got a random question just pop into my head. You know,
why are we not surprised?
Okay, you're not surprised. Stop picking on me. But, you know, Beijing has Peking duck. What does Shanghai has in terms of cuisine? I know this is not even prepared. I didn't even prepare you for this question. I apologize, but
again,
it was popping in my head.
I just want to let you know, Shanghai has the very mixed culture, and especially to me, I think the Shanghai snack is the most memorable things to me.
Shanghai what?
Snacks.
Oh.
Different snacks. It's hard to say exactly into English. Most of things is snacks with the mixed different cuisine. Here you can see the yamcha. It's typical Cantonese style.
Yes, it is.
Mm. Yeah. But in Shanghai we have the on style.
On style.
Yes.
Tell me about what this on style is. I know.
Like yesterday. That was the winter solstice.
Yes.
Sure. Here is a summer story. Mm. On that day, traditionally, in northern China, we should eat a dumpling. But in southern China, Shanghai belongs to southern China, we should eat the sticky rice ball.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can modify it and cook it in with the rice wine.
Oh, sounds nice, actually.
I'm inviting myself to your home one day.
But also, there's also Shanghai noodles. Isn't there something different about Shanghai noodles as well? Or am I getting confused?
I think there's no difference.
No difference. Oh. I thought there was something different with Shanghai noodles.
But I have to say, I'm not expert in food, just based on my personal experience.
You just got conned by the Chinese here from mainland China, call it Shanghai noodles, and you know you fell for the trap.
I saw it on number 27, yes.
And who has a question?
You're not supposed to say that. Anyway... One thing that puzzles me, Bin, is that your parents have three children.
Yes.
Because you have two sisters.
Mm.
And your two sisters are married, but they're only allowed to have one child.
That's right.
So how come your parents have three children?
Okay. I have to say, for the Western people, they may have had a very deep impression Chinese one child policy. But actually, that was just started in 1979. Okay. So that's proof I'm not so young.
And it also doesn't apply to the rural areas as well. I think they can have a second try if the first child is not a son, can they not?
That's right. In the current, according to the official document, probably you just can have the one child. But in rural area, usually they can have a two child.
I also heard from my mother, who's been to China, somewhere in the rural area, they actually hide the pregnant women. If they're having a second child, they actually hide them in the attics so that they can have another child, you know, away from the prying eyes of the government. Mm. But what happens if you're caught with a second child when you're having the child illegally?
You will get a fine.
Is that all? Is there anything else that happens?
No, just get a fine. But, you know, in the rural area, if you get a fine, it's very high burden for the family. Mm. And another thing I have to say, in the city, people prefer one child. You know, in the city, for our Chinese, we always say that China have too many population. Mm. So for the Chinese, actually support the one-child policy. But for Western may think, it's our right, I can have more children. If you live there, if you go to China one day, you will find it's so crowded a city.
Tell me about it.
Shanghai have
Shenzhen and places like that, you can't move.
Shanghai have a 20 million population, similar to Australia total population, living in one city. So when you have children, you should think about education and everything. It's kind of a burden.
If someone does have a second child, is it frowned upon by people? Like, you shouldn't be doing this?
The broader community.
In general.
In general.
If your neighbor, for example, has more than one child, and would the rest of the community disapprove of that?
I don't think people were concerned about that too much. It's the others, the personal life. The government will handle it. It's not our business to do that. And also, it's impolite to do you criticize others.
You know, given how crowded Shanghai is, so, you know, in Australia, there's a concept of personal space, you know, stay away from me one arm's length. Mm. What about in China? Because it's so crowded, probably the concept of personal space is less there.
Yes, it's less. So that, you know, in Shanghai, the subway here, the called train, here you have the more seat on the train, but people still complain. You don't have the enough seat to sit. But if you go to Shanghai, go to Hong Kong, Tokyo, you will find that people always stand there.
Yeah.
On the train, I get every day, everyone's standing.
Because you can squeeze more in if they're standing, obviously. But the crowds, I know, and Hong Kong, Shenzhen, I know about. That's one thing I don't like about those places is the number of people. I mean, you're talking about the personal space thing. And I get in some of those shopping centres where you're just shoveling around like this. And I think, let me out. I just need some fresh air. I just go away. I just want some space. I find it terribly claustrophobic.
I think this is like a double-edged sword. One thing, China helped the whole world reduce the population, reduce the burden. On the other thing, the people expect that China have so large a population and so big market, they can do some business there.
And not to mention that the bigger the population, the cheaper the labor as well.
That's right, because the population.
This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Alan, Kafam and Hugh.
Joy 94.9. Orange Driven Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac. The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Han Hong with Lang La San Qin's love song of Lang La Mountains. Joy 94.9 with Hugh, Alan and Kafam. Our guest tonight, Ben, who actually brought in the music. And Hugh has got a question for us.
What is this tonight?
Because you specifically told me, I have a question, better let me speak first. That's what you said. Now you can speak.
Stop making me laugh. Anyway, let's get back to your story, Ben. What I would like to actually talk about is the class system, the upper class, middle class, and poor. Now, your mother was an accountant and your father was an engineer teacher.
Yes.
So would you consider your upbringing middle class?
I think that there isn't a clear definition of the middle class. I think, though, I come from a very common family. It's just how to say, you have to go to work every day, make money for support a family. In China, yes, I think in the current society, you can separate as the middle class, upper class, or lower class. In the past, China is the, just people living in a city in the rural area, two system. I think it's based on the Chinese reality at that time, when China just the liberation. So a lot of poor people from the rural area would like to move to the city, look for a better life. At that time, China was so poor, and the city can't afford it. So the central government set up a law. So we have the citizenship, not citizenship, it's called a residency. So if you are originally living in the city, you got all the things. You can stay there. If you live in the countryside, you must live in the countryside. You can't move into the city. You can come travel, but you can't live there, get all the social welfare. But now, after China opened the door, this system is not suitable for the current condition. So this system has been broken down gradually, but it hasn't totally destroyed.
So now that it's broken down, would you say the cities I can imagine getting very, very overcrowded by now?
Yes. So that is a big challenge for the government. How do you manage the city? If all the people live in the city can't afford for the housing, transport, everything.
You mentioned something about different living conditions in the city and in rural areas.
Yes.
What's so different in the rural areas from the city?
I think in China, especially in the past, living in rural areas is a very tough time. You have to look after everything yourselves because you don't have insurance. You don't have the health cover sort of things. So when you be hospitalized, you have to pay everything yourself. If you have, we live in the city, we have the medical insurance. So we can get some refund from the insurance. But now the government noticed this problem. So now, just the day before yesterday, the government issued a new, not law, just a regulation, say that in the following few years, we will change this system so everyone can get the social welfare.
So tell me, if you live in the city and your family weren't poor, you were okay.
Money is still a problem.
Money is still a problem, but that's all over the world. You got help. You had insurance. The government help you as well, don't you? Find jobs.
That's
everything.
Right.
But if you live in the country, you get nothing.
You get nothing. You have land.
The country people are poorer than the city people.
In general speaking, it is true. But in the city, if you don't have a job, doesn't mean that you guarantee everyone will have a job. If you don't have a job, you also don't have a land. Sometimes it's also tough.
Now, I know there is mass migration occurring, even though the government's trying to slow it down, between the country and the city. Yeah. But just in terms of rough figures, percentage-wise, of the entire, whatever it is, 1.2, 1.3 billion in China, what percentage would live in the country today versus live in the major cities, approximately? I mean, is it half and half, or is it 20%, 50%, 80% live in the country?
I'm not an expert in this field, but based on my knowledge, probably 80 to 90% of the population live in rural area.
In the rural areas?
Yes.
Would they really?
Yes. Most of people still live in the rural area.
Even though you've got those huge cities of, 10, 15, 20 million?
That's right. So you can imagine how difficult, how challenging things happen in China. So in other countries, it's wealthy, less population, it's easy to manage it. But if you encounter so large population and a different education level, different socioeconomic status, it's very hard to do it.
Now, in Australia, we have the Centrelink. If I am unemployed, I can get the dole. Now, in China, if you're unemployed, and what happens to that person?
In the city, you can have the minimum life,
allowance.
Yeah, allowance. you can. In the rural area, they have another system. I'm not familiar with that. So it's very, you know, Shanghai's population equal to whole total Australian population.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. If you... How can I don't think any government can afford it. Everyone can.
But obviously, there'll be people abusing the system. And how would you know how the government police that?
Yes, I think in every country have the problem, especially in Australia. The people also like the complain about the Centrelink or anything. In China, you didn't get the allowance, you also complain. You get allowance, you still complain. You can't get enough. So I think that just take time.
So it's universal all over the world. Everybody just complains.
Moving away from the Centrelink and social allowances, I have in front of me saying that your mother spoke English at the time and was actually considered a potential political spy.
It's my mom, my grandfather, not my mom. Yes, he graduated from the Catholic University. He could speak English. It's very rare at that time. So before the China Cultural Revolution, and there was a kind of the political sensitivity period. So my mom was refused to join the national exam to enter university.
Oh, because her father spoke English?
Yes, that was kind of the suspicion. Then... You know, that is the only, not only one case, but it's kind of the one generation in Calder.
Mm. So did he pass on any English to your mother?
No. Unfortunately, my mom, she couldn't speak English at all.
We have a SMS just come in saying 55% of population in China live in rural area, or according to UN, from Bie Chun.
Okay, that's the more correct data.
It's still a very significant number of people, though, just the same. Still a very significant number of people.
Orange Ribbon with Kapam, Alan and Hugh.
Alan giving us a signal, wind it up. Joy 94.9.
It's 29 minutes past 8.
Joy 94.9. Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac. The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
刀郎2002年的第一场雪, first snow in 2002 by 刀郎, Joy 94.9, Orange Bin with Alan Kafam and Hugh, our guest tonight, Bin from China.
And your Mandarin is coping.
Yes, actually, before I announce our words, go and ask, hey, Bin, how do you say this word? Because I can't read. I can read probably about 50% of Chinese characters.
Moving on. Anyway, our guest is Bin, as Kafar mentioned. Now, at 24, you realised that you were gay. No signs or no inkling prior to that at all, before you were 24?
I think the... Everyone have the similar experience. Before that, you realized you have more interest in men. Before that, you know, there wasn't the internet. So you couldn't get information easily. Mm. I didn't know what happened at that time. Am I the only one person in this world have this problem?
In Shanghai.
It's definitely impossible. then one day I went to the Shanghai library. I found a book published by Miss Li Yinghe. That book was published in Hong Kong. And then I found, oh my God, this book talk about a survey about the Chinese, the gay community. Then at that time, that book can't be borrowed. You have to read there. So I spent a few days, went to the library and I read the book. I said, oh, suddenly it was like the eye opener. You know, oh, in this world, you are not the only one person. Mm-hmm. I think I was lucky. And at that time, since I know these things, then the internet became popular in China. Then people can access information more easily.
Now, just on the internet, though, I understand that some gay sites are blocked in China, though. Do you get to see all the gay sites that we see in the West?
Yes, all the gay issue that you can see in China.
I've had a friend come down from Zhongshan and tell me that there's some sites that he can see in Hong Kong that he can't see them when he's back home in Zhongshan.
Probably it's pornography.
Pornography is not totally censored.
Not totally. I think that in any society, you also can find a link to find it. In China, you know, people probably more rely on the forum, different from here. People may go here, people go to clubbing and join some club and know people. In China, usually use the online forum to know each other.
What about bars in China? Is there any gay bars?
Yeah, they are. I think that in a major city, every city has a gay bar, at least one gay bar.
Bars and saunas and all those sorts of things. Yeah.
Now, gay
I'm
bars...
I'm not sure.
Oh, believe me, there are saunas there as well.
Oh, anyway, but gay bars and clubs in the Western world and a lot of countries in Asia actually advertise openly about their venues. Mm. What about in China? Do they advertise openly about this is a homosexual place?
I don't think they can do advertisement at right now. But I found China has a great progress. You know, this year, in June, there was the first Shanghai Gay Pride Week.
All right.
So China just opened for 30 years. So now in 2009, we have the least Gay Pride Week. So I think that this proved that society has been more tolerant very quickly.
Now, with Gay Pride Week, I can imagine lots of pamphlets. How true is that? Now, with Gay Pride Week, I can imagine lots of pamphlets and...
Printed advertising.
Yes,
yes. This time, because this is first time, you can't, have the same requirement as Western country as you require the China. But I think they just see the development. This time, the Shanghai Gay Pride Week, all the information circulate on the internet in English.
Now, interesting question then. I was in Hong Kong for their second Pride Parade early last month, and the problem they have there is that the business community still will not recognise the gay community or provide funding or some sort of support. What is the situation in China? If you have a Pride Week or a Pride Parade in, say, Shanghai, would businesses sponsor certain events or provide some funding for that, or haven't got to that point yet?
I think definitely they will. Some businessmen would like to support it, but probably it's not a large population to do that. And this time, the Shanghai Gay Pride Week, there wasn't any march. Because, you know, in China, if you like march, especially demanded to a higher, more rights, this kind of march, it's very sensitive. So we just can do it gradually. So this time they circulate all the information in English and just do some gathering, like the workshop, film exhibition, and also they have some barbecue dancing party, and also the swimming competition.
Okay.
I think it's a good... It's a good sign.
Was it a solo crowd?
I wasn't there, but according to the information being reported, I think there are at least hundreds of people attending the event.
Now, you keep mentioning that the advertising could only be in English. Mm. Now, we're talking about Shanghai, and I guess the same thing would apply in other places like Beijing, etc. What percentage, roughly, of the city populations, I realise it would be different presumably in the countries, but in the city population, what percentage would be reasonably fluent in English?
I think that for reading, Chinese people are not too bad, but for the speaking, we still have a problem. We don't have many chance to practice the spoken language.
So what I'm trying to get at is, if that's the case, if many can read English, then what's the issue? Why only print it in English then?
Can minimize the inference. So not everyone, especially in China, English is a compulsory subject from the secondary school.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's compulsory. English is a very important subject in China. If you join any exam, English is compulsory.
This is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Hugh, Alan and Kafam. Our guest tonight, Bin, and when we come back, Bin is going to share with us about the HIV status of the men in China.
Out. Proud, loud, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
宋祖英为大地飞歌, The Flying Song. And our guest tonight, Ben, who actually brought in all the tracks. Tell us about this lady here.
Song Zuying, I think that she's the most famous singer in China. She was a singer of the close ceremony of Beijing Olympic.
And also she has solo shows in countries around the world.
Yes, she held her solo concert in Vienna, New York and Sydney.
Oh, very good.
It's a bit of culture there. And here.
Bit of culture. Now, let's move on a little bit, Ben, and I would like to talk about HIV in China. You told me a story about the type of person who's actually... we're going to generalize here, but you told me about married men. Tell us what you told me.
Yes, when you raised the issue, I think the one thing. The 1st of December was the World AIDS Days.
Yeah.
On that day, there was a big news in China. In Dali, Yunnan province, a local gay bar was supposed to open on that day. And the big news is this gay bar was founded by the government.
Mm. Oh, so that's a bit surprising.
Surprising. A lot of people say, oh, government run a gay bar. So why? Why was that? So actually, that is the government's part of the project to prevent HIV. So... at that time, there's a doctor in Dali, this city. He ran this project. He thought, how can we know who are gay? How can we educate the people? So if we open a gay bar there, so can more people come in? We let them know the knowledge about HIV. So they would like to run it. But after the media coverage, huge media attention, including the four English media like the AFP, AP, all together there. So there's too much attention. Mm. They postponed the opening day. Today I just read the news. They was opened, quietly last weekend.
Right. But you also told me the type of person who's getting HIV is mostly married men.
Yes. You know, in China, they in that city, Dali city, they did a survey. They said probably in that city have 1,000 to 2,000 gay men. Most of the people live in the rural area. They are lack of knowledge about HIV.
Mm.
So the latest survey about the HIV positive in China, it showed 30%, more than 30% are gay people. And a lot of them are married men. Because in China, current society is still a conservative society, a lot of gay men would like to go into the straight marriage, so can pretend. But on the other hand, they can't, cheat themselves in their back of mind. They still would like to meet with men. So I think that for them, there wasn't many chance to go out and have fun with other men. So when they got one chance, they just, regardless any protection.
Mm. Mm. Now, in India, I know for a fact, I mean, going back, I would say 5-6 years ago, where I read that a lot of Indian politicians actually consider HIV as a Western problem, and they say that it does not happen in India. Mm. So is China, you know, aware of the, you know, a potential outbreak of the disease?
I think that this year it's a big, great progress. This year, the government, the minister of the health department, and he even write down a letter said that now, in the current society, we should emphasize how to prevent the HIV spread, especially among the gay people. So they notice these things. And why the local government would like support the founder that the gay bar? You know, in China, if you one HIV positive person get the free medicine, will cost 10,000 Chinese yuan. They run a gay bar just to spend 120,000 yuan.
Are the hospitals in rural China, are they able to cope with HIV patients?
I think they got some basic knowledge, but probably not enough. So that government would like to advocate or launch a campaign, let more people know that, especially in rural area.
What about the medication? Is it readily available for people?
Yeah, it's available. So for the HIV-positive people, you can get the free medicine from the government, around the hospital.
And are there similar laws, such as in Australia, for example, mm-hmm. where if you're going to have unprotected sex with somebody and you are HIV-positive, you must let the other person know? Do they have similar sorts of...
I don't know if there is a concrete item about these things, but I think this situation around the world is similar. It's just like you intentionally to do something hurt others. Mm. I think according to other law, you still can get the punishment. Mm.
Now, you mentioned that in Dali they actually open a kind of like a gay bar, but it's actually more to, you know, to more for medical treatment, isn't it?
Not a medical treatment. I think they just provide a relaxed the environment to educate people.
So it's more like an education system.
I think in the conversation you can educate people. Unnecessary.
It's just a bar, it's like here with bars, but you're handing out information.
Okay, because I am curious, given that the stance of the Chinese government in the past towards homosexuals, if I were a Chinese person living there, I'd be quite suspicious to go into that place when it's funded by the government.
Why? Why should fund? Because they help you. You don't think that it's a government that you must, anti-government or other things. If the government do the right thing, we should support it.
Because what if they might publicize my identity, possibly?
No, I think you just overthink about that issue. The government that run this project just would like to prevent the HIV. It doesn't mean they will collect your information. You should sign a form for the entry. It's unnecessary. It's just a bar.
What about they actually might identify you and keep a record for you of you in future reference?
If perhaps. You are positive, HIV positive, definitely you have a record. The same as Australia, they will know who got the HIV positive. The same things.
What kind of bar do the gays go to? I mean, is it like here, you know, a lot of music and young people, or is it more a mixed
society? I think in the homosexual culture, especially the bar culture around the world, are pretty similar. Mm. Just music, dance, and would like to hook up as someone.
So what exists for the older gays in China?
So that is another problem. At least the latest survey also found a lot of the older people got the HIV. I think that for them, they are not familiar with the internet, and they even lack of the knowledge about the protection.
Mm. That would be quite a horrible situation to be in, because, you know, first you might be actually in the closet and be married, and now finding out that you're HIV positive, and, you know, is the government providing any counselling for them?
Yes, there are some counselling hotline you can call them. I think that they're all run by the volunteers rather than the government. And another thing is that in China, it's estimated in China the gay population may be 30 million people around the world, in China. China.
Positive.
Not positive, the gay community.
The gay population would be more than that. It'd be sort of 100 million or more if you work on the percentages of anywhere else in the world.
Pink dollars!
Now tell us, you worked as a doctor in China.
Yes, I was a doctor.
What is the hospital system like in Shanghai?
In Shanghai, we have the in China majority in the especially in the big city majority hospital run by the government.
Right.
In the small city, there are some private hospital, and in China, we like the Chinese medicine and West medicine are all covered by the medical insurance.
Right.
Unlike here, just covered by the Western medicine, and in other things, around the hospital, the system is pretty similar. After I came here, I do my research and go to the hospital. I found the system very similar. But another thing different, in China, you don't need have to make appointment to go to see doctor.
Okay.
So unlike here, you have to make appointment with your GP, and your GP reference, you go to see specialist. But in China, so it's a good thing, also a bad thing. Good thing is you can see the specialist very easily. You just go to hospital and register and wait there. You can get the treatment. The bad thing is most of people even got a small illness. They still go to the big hospital. So there was
so the hospitals are very busy.
Very crowded, and the doctor have a huge workload.
So given the huge workload of the doctors, what's the doctors, you know, how shall I put it, the doctor's supply like? Because in Australia, we have a shortage of doctors. What about in China?
In China, also, I need more doctors. I think the situation around is similar. People prefer work in the city. Now in China, if you would like go into the big hospital, work in the city, it's very severe competition. It's very hard to get in. You must have a very high degree and good qualification. If you go to rural area, it's much more easy.
Rural area to be a doctor, you mean?
Yes. Unlike here, people also don't want to go to rural area.
Oh, right. But the meg doctors here go to the rural areas, don't they? Yeah.
They actually encourage them with better pay packages and stuff like that. Now, my housemate is a nurse, and then recently she trained a nurse from China. Very interesting story. She, Alan's giving the signal to wind it up, but very quickly. what she said about this Chinese nurse is that she is so efficient because she has to go through so many patients a day, and then at Alfred, she just goes through them like a typhoon.
Oh, really? So because so many patients are waiting there, you have to do a lot of things.
Well, I'm afraid we have come to the end of the show. Kafam's right. Alan's arm is just about off his
side. I've got to keep you guys under control.
And of course, Ben, our guest and I, has a lot more stories. I hope he will be willing to join us again. And we have a quick message from Mark as well, saying Merry Christmas and please continue the good work. Thank you, Mark.
Ben, thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Thank you, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Well, that's Orange Ribbon for another week. Our special thanks to Ben for his story. Coming up next on Joy is Global Sounds. Thanks for joining us on Orange Ribbon tonight. Next week is our last program for the year, and so tradition says it's our 2009 retrospective.
Retrospective, a tradition which we've been going for a few years now, so it'll be our retrospective program.
Hugh, just quickly say tradition again. I think you mispronounced that. And thank you, Nick. On
off air, this boy's going to be sorry. Join us next week for our special program. A big thanks to Nick on reception for his help tonight. From Alan Kafam and myself, Hugh, have a very safe Christmas and enjoy yourself.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night.
Joy 94.9. Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.